Beatitudes is like a whole thing of a Christian. And today in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says this. Let's read it together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. What a weird statement. Okay? What does it mean to see God? Okay? Can you actually see God? You know, people often wonder, and maybe if you had a doubt season of your life, you probably wondered, God, are you really there? If only we could see you somehow. If only somehow you can speak to me now, like real for real, not just in my heart. People always wonder and want to see God. So what does Jesus mean? Keep that scripture on the screen, guys. What does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, and they shall see God? What does it mean? So let's talk about seeing God. Can you see God? The question is, can you see God? Well, some people, when they think about seeing God, they think, maybe I can see an angel. In a dream or in a vision or for real, you know, I could see this beam standing in the corner of a church sometimes or whatever. You know, how do I see God? Or maybe God comes to you in a dream like to Daniel or something like that. And people think, if only I could see God, I will believe him and that's it. It's going to settle that for me. And that's actually not true. One man who called himself the most humble man on the earth, you know who I'm talking about? Moses, he wrote that about himself, the most meekest person on the earth. He said the same thing. God, I want to see you. You know, we sing a song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. And a lot of times we don't even know what that means. Because Moses did the same thing. He says, God, I want to see you. And God says, you can't see me and live. Because no one who sees my face can live. If you see God, know that you're dead. If you ever see God and you're alive, you didn't see God. Okay? You saw maybe something else, some other spirit. Maybe you saw an angel, but I doubt it. Sometimes Satan presents himself as an angel of light, Bible says. Our goal as a Christian is not to see God with physical eyes, but our goal is to see him with our spiritual eyes. So what does it mean to see God? The answer is very simple. And I want you to remember this word. To see God means to have a connection with God. To see God, I know it sounds simple. I could have said to have a relationship, but I don't want to talk about relationship because we overuse that word as a church. We don't even know what it means to have a relationship with God. Our relationships are shallow right now. A lot of people don't have very good relationships. And so we just use that word for no reason. We don't understand what it means. So what does it mean to see God? I came up with a word. It's to have a connection with God. I'm going to tell you an embarrassing story about myself. And, you know, as a preacher, I don't want to just share with you my victories. I also want to share with you my defeat because I'm just like you. I have both. And so yesterday we were driving from Minneapolis. And all my kids were sleeping, even Hadassah. She was sleeping and Tanya was playing video games. And so, no, I was kidding. She was doing puzzles or something like that. And so she was sitting next to me, and I'm like, you know, I started this movie like a week ago, Braveheart. I've already told you. And I want to finish it. And I'm like bored driving here. And so I you know, on my phone, I have Netflix, and so I go there. And, you know, the Netflix is a cool thing because it puts you right where you finished it last. And you can just start over, resume the play. And so we're driving through this part of West Minnesota, and there's just, I have a 4G connection, so it's pretty fast. So I don't have to wait for movies to load. And here, my phone connection goes from 4G to 3G, and it goes, I mean, my phone has hiccups, right? And so I'm trying to watch this movie as I'm driving. Shouldn't do that. Who Who's driving? Jesus. And so everybody's sleeping. And so I'm trying to watch, and there's just no connection. So I hear like 2 seconds of a movie, like, and then it's loading. Have you ever talked on the phone and there's no connection? I know right now the connection is getting so much better. It doesn't happen anymore. But young guys, listen, when I got my phone like 10 years ago, like, you can only get connection in certain spots. You cannot get it in certain buildings. And if you go like to where Vans live, Newton Hills area, you can't get a connection. I don't know how you guys, you probably still have a landline up there. And so connection was horrible. I know we lived in the south part of town around 85th Street, and we had a bad connection. And it's frustrating because whenever you need the phone the most, that's when connection is like, it's like a Murphy law. You know, when it goes wrong, everything goes wrong, even your phone connection. Okay? And so when you don't have a connection when you need it the most, it's the most frustrating thing in the world. Same thing happens when we lose a connection with God. When we lose a connection with God, we stop seeing Him. So what does it mean to see God? It's to have a connection with Him. All right? What happens when we don't see God? Do you want to know? Number one, when we don't see Him, when we lose a connection with God, we get frustrated with God. Have you ever been frustrated with God? Meaning you talk to Him, He doesn't talk back. You pray, He doesn't hear you. It's like the skies are closed. There's nobody there. That's when there's no connection, and it could be very frustrating. What happens is your faith begins to dry up when there's no connection with God. We feel like God doesn't hear us when there's no connection with God. Do you know that God doesn't hear every prayer? Do you know that God doesn't hear every prayer? I know a lot of people pray, but who are they praying to? That's another question. And David said this in Psalm 66, 18 and 19. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. So what does the scripture tell us? When we hold sin in our heart, when we harbor sin in our heart, when we secretly hide, meaning in church we look all good, happy Christian, hallelujah, bless the Lord, oh my soul, 10,000 years and forevermore, and all that good stuff. We feel good. But Bible says if you hold sin secretly in your heart, if you have secret sin in your heart, God will not listen. That's Bible for you. So another way the connection is lost, I'm giving you a clue. When we harbor sin in our heart, when we start living against, and you know what? Satan is tricky, and he'll say, but there's grace and it's okay. But connection is lost, and you're a frustrated Christian. In church, we pump you up, and you know, I'll pump you up, and we make you happy and say God loves you, and you come out and you're still frustrated. You're still angry. There's no connection with God. Hallelujah. Doubt begins to settle in and occupy your heart. And you're doubting. You're double-minded. God, am I for you? Is there really God? Is there not God? And you don't know what you believe when connection with God is lost. You know that God wants to have a constant connection with you? Just like my phone has a constant connection with the antenna. And if it's not, it drains the battery because it's looking for that connection. Have you noticed that? If you're in an area and there is no cell tower, your phone will start bouncing around. Will use more energy looking for that connection. And it drains battery. Same thing happens to a believer. Your heart will always reach towards God. And Satan is tricky because what he does is he brings you alternatives. He says, God is not what you're looking for. You're looking for this. Go after this. Go after money. Go after career. Go after this. And we go after all of these things. And then we end up empty and sad. A heart that's disconnected with God is a heart that starts harboring secrets, harboring sin, starts living a double life, starts disconnecting with the body of Christ. Listen to me. Starts hiding from the presence of God. Interesting scripture I found. When Cain killed his brother Abel, Bible says he left the presence of the Lord and settled in a plane, a different plane. And I always said, God, isn't your presence everywhere? God, aren't you God of the whole earth and your presence is everywhere? But you know what? God's presence is with his people. God's presence is always with his people. And Cain, when he left the presence of God, what did he do? He left God's people. Listen to what I'm saying. When you get disconnected, Satan will try to cut you off from the vine. From the vine. So you don't feed anymore. And when you don't feed off the vine anymore, you dry up and you die. That's what happens. And his main goal is cut you off. And he'll make offense, excuse. You know, when you want to find a problem with the organization, you always will. Look at your family. If you want to find a problem with your wife, not you guys, but you over there, or with your spouse, you can always find it. And have you noticed the closer we get to God, the better the relationship in a home is. The farther we get from God, there's weirdness. There's arguments. There is that disconnection with one another. Let me make an announcement to you people. And you know this, some of you. Listen to this. You were created to be connected with God 24/7 every day of your life. Humanity was created to be connected with God, to see God. What happened with Adam every day in the Garden of Eden? He had a connection with God. They connected every day. Have you had a relationship and you had good times and then you disconnected for a long time? And then you kind of feel like, oh, I don't know if I even want to see that person again. We're just so disconnected. Or have you ever had a person you just don't connect with? You don't want to spend time with them, right? You just want to be away from them. See, humanity was created for the connection with God. We were created to have continual connection, relationship, whatever you want to call it, with our Heavenly Father. And when we don't, we start dying on the inside. I'll prove it to you. A friend of mine, businessman, calls me and says, Alex, I said, how you doing and everything? Oh, doing great. My business is doing good. My family is doing good. And then he says something to me, but I feel dead on the inside. I'm like, what? Did I hear you right? Everything is going well. God is blessing you and everything. And you feel dead on the inside. He said, I lost my connection with God. He said it to me. I lost my connection with God and I'm dying on the inside. He said, Alex, I'm dying on the inside. See, because you can have it all and not have a connection with God and you have nothing. Because Jesus repeats this. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. First, make sure you have that connection with God. Make sure your face sees God. Your spiritual eyes see God on a daily basis. You know, somebody says prayer is when we talk to God. And his word is God talking to us. So when we pray, we're talking to God. God is listening. But when we read the Bible, God is talking to us and we're listening. Are you listening to God? Because a lot of people are praying right now. A lot of secular, new age people are praying right now. We're taught, just pray. And prayer does have a soothing feeling, doesn't it? Sorry for that. Whatever I said. Suzlon or something. Wuslan. No. Too far. Hallelujah. Where are we going with this? Soothing prayer. Okay. So prayer is when we're talking with God. And his word is God talking to us. And so we got to keep that daily connection with God. We got to keep that daily connection with God. Pharisees were, before I go to Pharisees, if you don't keep your connection with God, two things will happen. Number one, you will become a religious Christian. Number two, you will become a practical or vocal atheist. Practical atheist, he reads the Bible, he knows the Bible, but he doesn't practice none of it. It's called practical atheist, or the guy who just hates the Bible. Okay? So you will become religious, practical, or just an atheist. Okay? And so Pharisees of Jesus' time worried about purification. Wouldn't you agree? Talk to me. What kind of purification they worried about? External, right? Jesus, you didn't wash your feet before you ate. How dare you? Jesus, did you know that your disciples over here, they didn't wash their hands? What gives, man? Don't you know if you eat something, you'll be unclean? That's like a sin. So they worried about purification on the outside. That's why I call them religious. They paid no attention for the purification of the heart. And that's why Jesus says, put that scripture on, blessed are the pure in heart. Pharisees worried about purity on the outside. Jesus said, blessed are, happy are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. The reward is you will see God on a daily basis if your heart is pure. What does it mean to be religious? You want to know? Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Is that cool? You can sense the attitude in Jesus' word. This is Jesus. Listen to what he says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Say it with me. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Isn't that cool? He put some attitude in that. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. So outside you do good. Let's put next verse. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup, your heart, and the dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Let's read this again with me. Woe to you, Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees. Don't forget the scribes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to man, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So watch this. Who is a religious person? It's the person who on the outside looks like he's good, but his heart is full of dead men's bones. It's full of bones. He eats people. He judges people. He devours people. He condemns people. He talks about people. Every time he gets together with his friend, all he talks about is other people. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. So what does it mean to be a religious person? You have an outward appearance of a believer. You look like a Christian. You come to church. You speak like a Christian. You know Bible verses. You have a knowledge of a believer. You know the Bible really good. You talk like a believer. You act like a believer. You look like a believer. But you don't have a connection with God. That's religion in a nutshell. You look a Christian. You act it. But you don't have a connection with God. And so Holy Spirit, I ask you today to talk to us, to talk to everybody in the front row to the back row. From the front row to the back row, Lord. From the side to the side, talk to us, Lord. Do I have a connection with God? Do I have a connection with God? Religious people are those who don't see God. And they're okay with it. They haven't seen Him forever. They haven't had a connection in worship with Him forever. They haven't had a prayer connection with Him forever. And their life is slipping. Meaning, on the outside they act religious, but in the background, if you saw Him in Vegas, if you saw Him in Atlantic City, if you saw Him at Grand Falls, if you saw Him at the vault, you would be like, they don't go to my church. They don't go to my church. You'd be ashamed to say that they were in your church. That's what it is. See, God, Pharisees and religious people, and we have so many religious people today in our churches, in our church too. They're so worried about how to look good on the outside, but the heart has not changed. And so they can masquerade as an angel of light on Sunday and look all spiritual, but on Monday they're full of hate, jealousy, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Their heart is full of evil speaking. They cuss worse than a sailor. That's what it is. It's the outward appearance. And Jesus said, I don't care about your outward appearance. I care about you taking care of the heart. Because if you take care of the heart, the outward will clean itself. See, opposite philosophies. See how Satan tricked these religious people. These were supposedly morally good people. And he said, you got to look good on the outside. You got to look like a Christian. You got to dress a certain way. And then once you do, that means your heart will change. And Jesus says, no, that's false doctrine. It will not change. First, change the inside. And so the question is, do you have a connection with God? Have you connected with Him today? If you can't connect with Him on Sunday, I don't know. There's a problem. That's why we have the worship service, so we can connect with Him. That's why we worship God. It's not just so we can soften you up, so I can preach to you and you're ready and all excited, you know. It's not so we can tickle your emotions and then you, when I'm ready to preach, you're prepared. No. Worship is just as important part as preaching. Actually, worship will go on for eternity. Preaching will stop. In heaven, I'll probably be a tree trimmer. Because I can't be a preacher, but Andre can still be a worship leader in heaven. Because there's no preaching in heaven. God Himself will teach us. Jesus Christ Himself will teach us there. We'll know all knowledge. So no preaching in heaven. Hallelujah. Some of you are like, yes. No more preparation too. But I would love to preach someday in heaven. But anyway, I'll join the worship team. Got to polish up on my piano skills a little bit. Hallelujah. Or learn the harp, you know. Hallelujah. So, most dangerous place for a believer to be is to be spiritually blind. That's to lose the connection with God. Somebody in the Old Testament, and I think it's in the book of Leviticus, it says, shine your face upon me. Show me your face. Shine your face. It doesn't mean that God will, you'll see a light coming down at you. No, it's just your heart is in that place where it's connected with God. You almost see Him. Your spirit sees Him. And there's nobody in the world who can say, there is no God. Because you're like, I see Him. I see Him in my heart. You can't tell me there is no God. But when you don't see Him, Satan comes and starts bringing doubt and brings doubt. And then you're doubting because you don't see Him. Sunday is not enough to see God. You got to practice it daily. Just like you need to eat food for your body, so you need to see God daily basis. Because we become based on what we see. That's why television and media has such a powerful effect on us. Because they put all these graphic pictures inside. And before you know it, the whole nation switches its position on things. On morality, on abortion, on homosexuality. Everything starts changing. Why? Because of what we see. We've been seeing it and we become like what we see. And God says, if you see me, you'll become like me. Hallelujah. Three of you clapping, but I'm thankful for that. When we don't see God, listen to me, the spirit of deception comes out and begins to slowly seep in into our heart and begins to rule in our heart. What do I mean by spirit of deception? And I'm preaching kind of like seriously, not like grace gospel. God loves you. Hallelujah. This is some solid food, you know. This is not milk. Okay. When you start bringing more people to church, I'll preach milk. But right now, I'm just preaching solid milk, solid food, solid milk. Dry milk, powdered milk. No, I'm serious about that. You gotta invite somebody to church. Because the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. You're here. You love yourself. Why are you here? Huh? Why is your neighbor not here? Why is your friend not here? Because you need to invite him. And you need to pray for them as you invite him. You say, God, soften their heart so you can bring them closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I was going to make an announcement, but we're buying this building. And we're hoping to close in August. Amen. We're hoping to close on it in August. And so, but we're not buying this building so we can just have fun here. We're going to break these walls. This is going to be a church outside of walls. This is not going to be the church. God is kind of preparing us throughout the summer. But starting September, it's all go and fish for man. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of man. A few changes I'm going to tell you we're going to do. We're going to tear out this roof. This ceiling right here. So we're not going to have these fluorescent lights that flicker like that. We're going to have just different lighting so we can dim it as much as we want it, or we can make it as bright as we want. We're going to really make a cafe in the cafe, not just a cold, ugly place. We're going to change the stage a little bit. We're going to put in different drums. The drums are going to be in the middle. I mean, we got so many ideas for this place. But the goal is, Steve Youngblood said, fill it five times a Sunday. Fill it five times a Sunday. Listen, I did not come here to entertain people. I came here because I want to inspire you. I want to provoke you to your faith so you can go and win the nations. That's the goal. I'm not playing church anymore. I am not here to, because I love preaching and I do like preaching, but I'm not here just to preach. It takes too much work, too much energy to prepare for this message. I'm here so we can win this city and bring people who are far from God close into close relationship with Jesus. That's what I'm here for. I hope you get the passion for that, because I am. I got the passion. I don't want to raise religious community. I want to raise true people who have a heart for our community, heart for loss, who are tender, who are soft. When they see a lost person, they care about them. They have mercy on them, and so they begin to pray for them so God would bring him to himself through us. Through us. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. So, like God says to Elijah, eat and drink some solid food, some meat, some steak I'm giving you right now. Okay, eat that, because a long road is ahead of us. God is about to do something. Like he said to Elijah, eat and drink. A crow is feeding you cupcakes or whatever. So eat it right now. Holy Spirit is here teaching us throughout the summer. He's going to be teaching us, and he's going to inspire you. But he wants fruits, and he wants our church to be fruitful, to bring people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Because people are going to hell, and we don't care. That's a religious heart. That's a religious heart. As long as I'm saved, as long as I'm clean, I don't care about you. I'm just going to judge you. Hallelujah. I will. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need this today. If you don't have a connection, you become either religious or an atheist, or you stop believing. When you become religious or atheist, especially religious, you still come to church. You still look Christian, but you're dead. Your heart doesn't love Jesus. You've lost your first love. That's what happens. So you start going after money and people. I've been there. I'm not beating you up. I'm really talking to myself. You start going after money and it's never enough. I told you, it's like a carrot in front of you. You run after it, and then you got it. And you put it just in your backpack. And Satan says, oh, there's one more. And so you go after that one, and you get that one. And then people say, can I have a carrot? Oh, no. I still don't have enough for myself. So you keep going after carrot. And before you know it, your backpack is so full. I know what I'm talking about because I'm a workaholic by nature. I work so hard, I thought I'm going to die. And it's never enough. And it's never enough. So God wants to change it. I want to write a book like that. So if somebody wants to illustrate, kid's book about rabbit chasing a carrot and his backpack becoming big, to say what, you know, to show the parents who read to the kids what greed looks like. I don't know if we'll sell a lot of them, but it'll be okay. All right. So if you don't have a connection with God, I got to finish this message because let me tell you this. I'm going to finish this message next week because I'm going to talk about what is pure heart. What is pure heart? We didn't even get to it. We're just talking about, you know, if you don't have a pure heart.
So we're actually preaching this message from that. Usually I would say, what is pure heart? Dictionary says this, and you know what it's going. But today I'm preaching that message. Okay? What happens when a spirit of deception seeps in into our heart? You want to know? Deception seeps in. It's okay if you do just a little bit of porn. A little bit of porn is not going to hurt anybody, especially single guys, you know, and ladies, the same thing. You know, I'm not married. I'm not hurting my wife, so it's not bothering anybody. Just a little bit, you know. I don't go into hard stuff. Before you know it, gentlemen, you'll be spending 18 hours a day watching porn. And you will hate it.
On fire, right? Liar, 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 liar. When you have a connection, you hear God. When you have no connection, what's there to stop you? Your moral compass goes all whack without God because it's not pointing north, right? So it starts spinning because it can't find the tower. The phone is jumping, draining energy. And that's when Satan attacks when we're the weakest, when we have no connection with God, when we lose that connection. And so he says, it's okay to flirt with somebody of an opposite sex. You know that adultery in a church is the same as outside, pretty much. That's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment. There's got to be something different. When Christ comes into our life, he transforms our life. We're not to be the same and just good moral people. He transforms us. He makes us better. And later, first we don't like it, but later we thank him for it. You know, any trial in life or discipline or testing is unpleasant. But later it produces the fruit of righteousness. Of right living. Hallelujah. It's okay to go out on a business lunch with somebody opposite of sex. Even same sex now. and you have a wife or husband at home. Satan is a liar. It's not. If you're connected with God, God protects you from spirit of deception. If you're not connected, listen, it's just a matter of time. Because first, he doesn't tell you, go out with that person, have sex with them. You know what he says? Just talk to them. Just share your emails. Talk on Facebook. It's going to be okay. And before you know it, that's how it works. That's how spirit of deception seeps in into the churches, into our lives, when we have no connection. So the question is, above all, Bible says, guard your heart, because out of it comes the right living. If you don't have, if your heart is not connected with God, that's it. So number one, what is, just giving you a clue for next week, what is having a connection with God? What? To see Him. To have a relationship with Him. It's not rules first, people. It's not rules first. When I talk to people, I don't go and say, you got this problem in your life. I'm asking, how are you connected with Jesus? Are you connected? Because I can start acting religious and start pointing on the outward signs. But what is that going to do if the heart is not changed? So that's why I don't go and just attack you and say to you, hey, you got to change this and that. I'm going to say to you, if I meet with you, I'm going to say, how are you getting closer to Jesus? Are you getting closer to Jesus? When you lose connection, I mean, everything goes, you know, slow deception. Weed, you know, what's wrong with weed? It gets you relaxed, right? I mean, it's no problem. Besides, some states already, it's legal already. And before we know it, it's going to be legal everywhere. But you know what? Weed kills your willpower. Brain cells, willpower. I've had guys who worked for me who smoked a lot of weed, couldn't keep a job. They just go from job to job. They keep losing it because they don't show up to work. Because when you're high, everything is good except your job. And when your job is bad, your wife leaves. Or you lose your girlfriend, the one you wanted to marry, and then it just goes, and then you make stupid mistakes. Preaching the true gospel here today. When we stop seeing God, we become Pharisaic religious. So the question today is, do you see God on a regular basis? David, when he had sin in his life, remember Bathsheba story? He wrote a lot about seeing God. How do we get a heart that's pure? Number one step, David says, create in me a clean heart, oh God. It's not that you're going to start following rules. It's not that you're going to become moral. Number one step before you discipline yourself is get to know Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. That's number one step. A lot of people skip that step. They say, I'm a Christian, so now I must do things. I must clean myself. I must purify myself. And what happens? They start doing it from the outside. No. The goal is get closer to Jesus. Have a personal worship time, prayer time, word time every single day. In your car, instead of listening to 104, maybe listen to a worship CD or something once in a while. I'm not saying listening to 104 is bad. I don't, but you can if that's okay with you. But have some worship time in the morning. Do something. Fall in love with Jesus before you start doing religious acts. Before you try doing don'ts, do do's first. And once you fall in love with Jesus, He's going to slowly change those don'ts. Amen? He will. Confession of a Pharisee. Can I give you a little confession? I was called into ministry young. And that required for me to act a certain way and look a certain way. And I did. I disciplined myself on the outside, but my heart was not changed. 5 years ago, being a pastor already for 5 years, and 2 years as a youth pastor, I thought I was already far with God. But when God started showing me that all I did was suppress certain things, I wasn't really changed. I just learned to control and discipline myself, but my heart was not changed. I'm like, Lord, I've wasted 5 years acting religiously, looking good on the outside. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to act religious. I don't want to anything religious. I want it to be a genuine transformation. And that's why I had to go to step one. Because I skipped step one, getting closer to Jesus, and I started doing the works that look, that make me look like religious. And most people, instead of getting closer to Jesus, they start acting like a Christian. Don't do that. Because you can only act like a Christian one day a week, probably, for an hour and a half. That's about it. As soon as you leave church, you'll be cussing your kids, you'll be cussing your husband, you'll be using blasphemies and idolatries and all kinds of stuff. You can only act as a Christian so much. It's like a balloon that explodes eventually. But when you get to God, He changes your heart. And yes, there's those other works, but they're in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. So you do second step from the first step. You don't jump to something you can't do.